Bible with me tonight, Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, if you would please. I'm going to try to move very quickly this evening, that which the Lord has led me to bring this evening. There's quite a bit of content to it. Quite a bit of Bible. I'm probably going to give references and read more than I will ask you to turn to. You're more than welcome if you're able to keep up. You know, I'd be delighted if you want to turn to the scripture references. But just please understand I'm going to have to work quickly with our communion and the elements this evening. Amen. Numbers chapter 15, if you have it with me, if you'd stand in respect and reverence of the reading of God's word. Amen. Numbers chapter 15, look this evening with me at verse 29. Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 29. Our Bible says, "Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourn among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously." Stop for a second. You see the division that God just gave there? He said, there's one law for sin. But he then identifies an individual who is going to sin presumptuously. If you understand that word presumptuously, okay, that means without much thought, care, or concern. Amen? He goes on to say, "But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord." Please notice the capital L-O-R-D. Jehovah God. "And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord." There it is again, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. "And hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. They put him in word because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death." What? For gathering sticks on the Sabbath? "And all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp." Well, wait a minute. So where to stone him? "And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make the fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders," what are those next four words? "A ribbon of blue." Now, why would they do that? Why would God command that? Well, me, not being very quick individual, thank God he explained it to me. Because if you look at the following three verses, he begins to tell me what the purpose was for. He says, "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God." Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah God. Yahshua. "Which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Now, ladies and gentlemen, please understand this was under the Levitical law. Okay? The Levitical law was given in a very stringency for obedience. Okay? There is a bit more grace extended. But please understand that God still expects might I even say demands, obedience. These sundry ordinances that God gave, they weren't to be picked through, negotiated about which we should obey, which we should not, which I agree with and which I don't, which I'm able to heed to or want to heed to and that which I don't. Friend, what is happening in our society today, in our churches today, and in the disrespect of the Word of God today is absolutely abhorrent. We have an entire people who call themselves God's people, picking and choosing what it is they will obey, picking and choosing what they personally agree with and that which they do not agree with. There's a reason God put these sundry ordinances in the book. Amen? And it was to teach us uncompromising obedience. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time that we have on this resurrection evening celebration. And Lord God, we pray as we just endeavor into this for a few moments this evening, Lord, that your Spirit would be working among us, challenging us, Lord God, convicting us, Lord God, exhorting us, and Lord God, even encouraging us, Father, to be about your ways, to be about your word, and Lord God, and in entire obedience to that word, Lord God, a precious fellowship walk with thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I get older, I have a tendency to forget things. Many of you laugh often when I forget names. Okay, that's just one of the small problems that are beginning to arise, obviously. Why? Because our bodies get older, our minds get older. I think we all do as we age. It's unfortunately a fact of life. Researchers say hormones and proteins that protect and repair brain cells to stimulate neural growth decline with age. Older people often experience decreased blood flow to the brain, which can impair memory and lead to changes of cognitive skills. Many older adults worry about their memory and other thinking abilities. For example, they might be concerned about taking longer than before to learn new things, or they may sometimes forget to pay a bill. These changes are usually signs of mild forgetfulness, often a normal part of aging, not a serious memory problem or difficulty. It's a fact of life. As we grow older, as our minds grow older, okay, they don't work quite like they used to. Now, everybody over the age of 50 is shaking their head right now going, and everybody under the age of 50 is looking at me like, what's he talking about? Okay, oh, you will learn. Amen. However, many of our sweet but aged loved ones even begin to suffer from a more serious memory loss. That is a sign of a bit more serious situation taking place. As technology has advanced and advances have been made in medicine and diagnosis, we have learned a great deal more about a cognitive disease called Alzheimer's. It's a heartbreaking situation that occurs when a cognitive ability of the brain begins to decrease beyond that which is a normal amount due to aging. Many people worry about becoming forgetful. And unfortunately, when this normal memory loss begins to become more evident, people immediately attribute forgetfulness as the first sign of Alzheimer's disease. But not all people with memory problems have Alzheimer's. We're just getting old. Amen? It's simply a fact of life that occurs as our bodies age and things wear out. They do not work as they did years prior. Everybody over 50 nod their head. Okay? Everybody under 50 look at me with a crooked look and saying, what's he talking about? And like nearly all mankind, it becomes very evident. This is very deep. You ready? Getting old stinks. Okay? There's just no way around it. Okay? And listen, we're all going to get there. Amen? Now, I remind many of us, as well as all of those who are years away from this concern of memory loss, the reality of forgetfulness, not because that is the subject of my message this evening, but rather identifying what is not the germinating problem of what I would like to speak about tonight. Did you get that? Just challenging your thought process, amen? So I've given you that this evening to identify the fact that there is an existing problem. It's just not what I want to talk about tonight. But it is relative. Otherwise, I would have not. You say, how's it relative, preacher? You see, forgetfulness is a normal struggle in life for both young and old alike. And as we have just joked about, much more of a concern problem as we age. But God has a greater concern relative to memory loss due to that which is not normal, but selective. Because that's what our passage of Scripture is speaking of this evening. Selective memory loss. You see, many times our problem with hearing is as much like a certain gentleman by the name of Larry. Larry went to a charismatic revival, not necessarily knowing and understanding what to expect. And his experience will help place us in the mindset of the subject and issue that I would like to address this evening. Larry goes to get prayer for his hearing. He's in one of these charismatic services, if you will. And preacher calls for individuals who has any type of an ailment, come forward. I'd like to pray over you. So Larry says, I need prayer about my hearing. So Larry steps out of the aisle, out of the pew, and he walks forward. Larry goes to the revival, and as he's listening to the preacher, or after a while, the preacher asks anyone that needs prayer to come forward in front to the altar. Larry gets in line. When it's his turn, the preacher asks, Larry, what do you want me to pray about for you? Larry replies, preacher, I need you to pray for my hearing. Preacher puts one finger on Larry's ear. He places the other hand atop Larry's head and prays and prays and prays for the Spirit of God to move upon Larry. After a few moments, the preacher removes his hands, stands back and asks, Larry, how's your hearing now? He said, well, preacher, I don't know. My hearing's not until next Wednesday. Now, yes, that makes us laugh. But just as Larry was speaking of a different type of hearing, I am speaking of a different type of hearing this evening. Or shall I say problem with hearing? Amen? You say, what problem is that, preacher? Not just hearing, listening. Many times we'll hear, but do we listen? Not only listening, but the problem we as a society and even community of God's people have, which is the same problem God knew the people of Israel had, is that choosing to remember what they had been instructed selectively. I might have your ear this evening for you to truly hear and listen to a message I've titled Refreshing the Reminder of the Ribbon of Blue. Refreshing the Reminder of the Ribbon of Blue. If you'd be so kind as to look quickly at our passage scripture this evening in Numbers chapter 15, may I remind you what is taking place at this moment in the history of the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel is very young comparatively in its inception as a nation. They've left the land of Egypt and are on their journey to the promised land. It is just after the 12 spies have been sent out to spy out this new land that God had promised them and brought back an evil report which would discourage the people from being obedient to that which God had instructed them to do concerning possessing that new land. They realize they have sinned against God and have grieved his presence with them. They go up presumptuously into the promised land and get slapped by the Amalekites because God had told them their grievance and lack of faith had already caused the damage that had already been done. As we would find the report in Numbers chapter 13, we also jump on the cusp of the rebellion of Korah, son of Izhar, joined with Nathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and their rise in rebellion against Moses' leadership, in which we would find in chapter 16. So what's taking place is in the midst of this circumstance and situation of the 12 spies coming back with an evil report, the entire nation being convinced that we need not or we should not and we cannot go into the promised land in which God hath commanded us and told us that he would deliver to us. As they have turned away from that, they are now on the cusp of a rebellion that is going to wipe out nearly a quarter of the entire people, okay, who are walking with them in a rebellious stance. And as they stand there in the midst of this, we find God said, this individual went out and collected sticks on the Sabbath, the day of rest, that I've commanded very specifically and precisely ought not be done. His punishment is he needs to be removed from the nation and the people. And to do so means that it will cost him his life. Now, laying in the midst of these events, we find some of God's laws referred to as part of the laws of the sundry offerings. What certain sins are. What is needed to be offered to bring forgiveness and reconciliation for those grievances. But as one would be reading through this section of Scripture, I would ask you to take note and attention upon something I would like to launch from as a little reminder to all of us this evening concerning our hearing and remembering the instructions that God has given to all of us. If I may say it once again in simplicity terms, we have heard God concerning his instructions in his word, but are we listening to the instructions of God in his word? Glance back at some of these instructions with me as we prepare to break this down. Look at chapter 14 of Numbers. Just flip back a page or two. Look at verses 18 through 24. I'm going to move quickly, so please stay with me this evening. Beginning in verse 18 of Numbers chapter 14, the Bible says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." Obviously, this is God's pronouncement when the 12 spies have returned from spying out the land, and the only positive reports was obviously Jacob and Caleb. Look further down in verses 27 through 30. Bible says, "How long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard their murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, and as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make ye dwell there, in save Caleb the son of Jephthah and Joshua the son of Nun." Look at the beginning verses of chapter 15 as God starts explaining this preciseness he would like obeyed when the next generation of their children do finally reach the promised land. Chapter 15, verse 1, are you there with me? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land of your inhabitants, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and sacrifice, and performing a vow, and in a free will offering, or in your seldom feast, or solemn feast, and make sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd, or of the flock. Then shall he that offereth his offerings unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of a hin of oil. And fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with burnt offerings or sacrifice for one lamb. Or for a ram that shalt prepare for a meat offering, 2/10 deal flour mingled with a third part of hin of oil. And he literally walks down through what we know and understand as the sundry offerings. What are they? They are offerings for a variance of not heeding God's word. Amen. They are offerings to make it right when they offended God in disobeying God. There's a noble thought, isn't it? God continues to provide specific instruction to Moses to be delivered to the people. But after delivering some of these sundry ordinances, God begins speaking of sin done in ignorance and sin done willingly. You mean that's a difference? Friend to God, that's a difference. When you do so knowledgeably and still do it, when you do so willingly and still do it, God says, that's a bit more of a serious problem. That means you're hearing me, but you're not listening to me. Well, did God really say that? Yes, he did. Yeah, but is that really what he meant? Yes, it is. Well, I don't really think it is. That kind of disobedience grieves God. Amen? He didn't ask us to make determination on whether we thought his laws, his ordinances, his statutes were right, wrong, or indifferent, whether we agreed or not agreed. He didn't ask me for my opinion. He said, these are my laws. These are my statutes. These are my ordinances. Your job is simple. Obey. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. And listen, that principle of God Almighty upon his people has not changed because the dispensation has. Amen. This law of sundry offerings and ordinances was not given specifically to me, but the principles of obedience of what they were to accomplish was. I don't have time to walk through the entirety chapter this evening, but you certainly get the gist of where we are and what is taking place. So with that introduction, I would ask you to draw your attention to where all this is leading. Look at verses 37 through 40 of chapter 15 this evening. Are you still with me? Amen. Hopefully this won't hurt a bit. Look at verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. God said, You can't seem to selectively remember my commands. So why don't you sew something into the hem of your garment so that every time you see it, you say, Don't be stupid. Obey. Not by personal interpretation. Obey. Verse 39 and 40. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. Do you understand the reason he told them to do it? And to do them. He said, don't just remember the commandments. Don't just hear the commandments. Listen to the commandments. Obey them. He said, and to help you remember, sew a ribbon of blue around the hem of your garment so that every time you see that ribbon of blue around the hem of your garment, you think to yourself, listen, don't just hear. Listen, Don't just hear. Listen. Don't just hear. Are you understanding this evening? Hence the title, Refreshing the Reminder of the Ribbon of Blue. I have three very quick short points to develop for you, so please stay with me for the next few moments. May I start with saying, are we listening to what we have heard? Are we listening to what we have heard? God many, many times throughout his word specifically says, to him who hath ears, let him hear. Matthew 11:15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:9, he who hath ears, let him hear. Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:9, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23, if any man hath ears to hear, do you get the idea? Do you get the understanding? He repeated it multiple of times. Mark 7:16, Luke 8:8, Luke 14:35, and so on and so on and so on. He said, listen, hear and listen. Friend, this movement of so-called Christians dwelling in a mindset, land of God understands, and is a crowd who has ears to hear but are not listening. They have not heard. Well, God understands that I'm a fallen sinner, and you know, when I go out and I cheat on my wife, God just kind of has learned to expect it because I'm a fallen creature. May I have a little bit of liberty tonight? That comes from the mouth of an idiot. Okay? God said, listen, when you know something is wrong and I've commanded you that it's wrong and you're educated enough to know that it's wrong and you do it anyway, that's a problem. Okay? That's not something we're overlooking. Amen? They pick and choose the ordinances in God's word that which they feel comfortable in abiding by and toss out the rest that either makes them uncomfortable or simply they just don't want to follow in the first place. And still, try to convince you that they walk with God. Friend, you can't have it both ways. Amen. Listen, I know that we are all aware of this adulteration of God's word, but neighbor, please listen to what this preacher is saying this evening. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever thou soweth, a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Brothers and sisters, listen. It's getting pretty bad out there when it comes to this understanding of compliance and obedience to God's word. You say, preacher, I mean, it's resurrection evening. Yeah, what greater time to talk about the very Savior that saved your soul by a sacrifice in which he endeavored into, and all he asks is that we would obey what he's asked us to do. Amen? I fear that there are many whom are beginning to faint under the load. God is coming to take us out of this mess one day, and I feel as evident as this mentality of corruption is being displayed and God is being more and more mocked, the time may even be coming quite near. Okay? But please, I said please, don't just hear, but listen to the words. Words like the words of Revelation chapter 2 verse 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt at the second death. Are you listening? Are you listening? Be ye not weary in well-doing. Are we listening to what we have heard? But allow me to ask the second question concerning this subject. Are we true light in the heavy haze? Because if you remember, and you don't have to think hard, That's what God asks us to be. Amen? Friend, as I repeat the words of the Iron Lady Margaret Thatcher stated to Ronald Reagan during the height of the Cold War, don't get wobbly. Stay focused. It is still our number one purpose. Amen. Friend, this is not a time, if there ever was one, but now is certainly not the time to back up, to sway side to side on where you are in your faith and your stand for Christ. You will get eaten up by the world. Amen. If Christ ever needed some warriors for him and his cause, listen to me, it is now. Remember the words of David? Is there not a cause? The answer is yes. There is still a cause. Amen? God instructed Moses in verse 38 to speak unto the children of Israel and say, remember what I have instructed and commanded you. Remember what I have asked you to do. Do you remember what God has asked us to do? As the local New Testament church, dwelling in the church age as born again children of the living God who have had that blood atonement we spoke of this morning applied to our account so that we might live eternally. What did he ask us to do? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm so glad you asked. And Jesus came on and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen. Amen. Just in case we didn't get it in Matthew, he repeated some of the very same context in Mark chapter 16 in verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, ye are all children of light and the children of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Matthew 5, 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are chosen generation, royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you getting the idea? We are the light of the world. Amen. If not us, who? Where is it to come from? Friend, there is absolutely so much deception and falsehood out there being taught for the love of God. If not us, who? We do not let our light so shine, how in God's name will they ever hear the truth? They'll be standing there with a finger in the ear and a hand upon the head saying, how's your hearing now? Are we listening? Neighbor, the truth is light. And if you who hold the true truth, the truth according to the word of God, will not tell them, who do you expect to tell them? Where will the light come from in this heavy haze of darkness if it can't come from the church of the living God? I mean, we have a honky-tonk crowd partying like there's something, this is something believers do. Okay, Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Yeah, but that's not really what it means. You know, a social drink here or there, you know, that's not really so bad. See, that's hearing and not listening, friend. Amen. Isaiah 5:11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them. But that's not really what he means. You know, because he said, you know, be not drunk in excess. So, you know, a little bit's okay. Are you hearing? Are you listening? Isaiah 28:7, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink and are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of the wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. We have multitudes of believers literally watching, shacking up with a plethora of reasons they should not be wed in the eyes of God. I don't have to look far. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Did you get that? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every man have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt ye not for your in contingency. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his girlfriend. His wife. Certainly not his boyfriend. And they shall be one flesh. Matthew 19:5. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Mark chapter 10, verse 7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Are you listening? Well, we're just giving a wing at this playing house stuff. We want to see if we really love each other and it'll really work. You know, how will we know if we're comfortable being intimate together unless... May I once again say it? May I have a little bit of liberty? You speak as a fool. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Period. There were no gray areas. It wasn't of opinion. God wasn't asking our opinion. Friend, that is a light in a heavy haze. One, it's not popular. Wasn't long ago I preached a message concerning, and I shared with you the statistics of divorce. What's going down? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Statistics of divorce is going down. You know why the statistics of divorce is going down? Because people aren't getting married anymore. We just shack up, play house, have kids, okay? Pretend like we're married. We just never sign the paper and walk the aisle, and we think that God is okay with that. Those are people who are not only not listening, they aren't even hearing anymore. Amen? And listen, we love all people, but I am here to tell truth and to speak of truth. And when you walk an aisle with the same sex individual, listen, and you cannot see the wrong in it, the Bible calls that reprobate. Hope I'm clear. Amen. Doesn't mean I hate them. I'm just telling you, they're not listening. This woke, wicked crowd. I don't know if they have ever heard, let alone are they listening. Romans chapter 1, verse 22, and so on, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. These people, well, these kids walking around here looking like a cat. Need a litter box in school because they don't want to go use a restroom. What are we doing? God said he'd get like this. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covetous breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God and that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They're not listening. They're not listening. I'm not even sure they have ears to hear. Are we true light in this heavy haze? See, you preach this stuff and people say, oh, you know, you got to be careful, preacher. Don't be so hateful. Friend, listen, I'm not hateful. I'm just preaching God's word. I'm simply reading what he said. Okay? Are we listening to what God is saying? We're in trouble. I said, we're in trouble. Are you listening? We are dealing with this. What do you think our children will deal with then? Amen. We need to be a light in this heavy haze. Are we listening to what we have heard? Are we true light in this heavy haze? Look, time is far spent this evening, so allow me to just ask you the same question God asked these Israelite people, and that is this. Where is our litany of hallowed harmony? Where's it at? I mean, do you know what a litany is? A litany is a series of petitions for use in church services or processions, usually recited by the clergy and responded to in a reoccurring formula by the people. If I may speak in a metaphoric litany this evening, please hear me. God's word is a series of petitions to be responded to in a recurring formula by the people. The majority of Christians and certainly nearly all of society have walked away from God's litany of petitions, and we have descended into a group of people that not only do not remember God's instructions, but most have never even heard them. We're losing the battle. Amen. I fear there will be many more than our bleeding hearts would like to admit on that heartbreaking judgment day where we see Jesus bring the truth and fruition of the horrible prophecy we see recorded in Matthew chapter 7. If you're not familiar with it, because the strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Friend, not everything done in the name of God is of God. Amen. And if I might be at liberty this evening, we're seeing a great deal more of things that are done in the name of God that are not of God. Are you listening? Do you have the discernment to determine the which? Amen. Friend, the very next verse says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. God said, I'm not asking you if you are hearing them. I am asking you if you are listening to them. What is your reminder? Numbers chapter 15. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make their fringes and the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that ye seek not after your own heart or your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Refreshing the reminder of the riven blue. I close with this. Ladies and gentlemen, God was speaking to a people who did not have this. We do. God was speaking to a people that does not have a third part of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God Himself dwelling within them. If you are a born-again believer in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and remittance of your sin through it, you are a born-again believer that has an indwelling Holy Spirit of God, a third part of God Himself dwelling within you. They didn't have that. How is it that as God becomes so explicit to a people who have heard and have not listened, and they didn't have the things in which we have to have heard, and many still do not listen. Amen. There's a day coming, friend. We rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. Glory. Hosanna in the highest. I take nothing whatsoever away from the celebration of that. But friend, that same Jesus, if you have put your trust in Him, is coming to retrieve you one day. And I promise you, all of the things that take you away, all of the things that you are hearing that you are not listening to, all of the things that you are circumventing because you do not feel it necessarily applies to you, or you feel that's not exactly what God meant, or you're wavering a little bit because everybody else is doing it. Friend, listen to me. There's going to be a day that none of that matters. All that matters is God looking at you and saying, you knew better and did not obey. It becomes no simpler than that. We have this conjugated idea, Brother Robert, that someday we're going to get to the judgment seat and we're somehow going to have a discussion. We're going to sit and we're going to debate whether or not the things in which I've done are acceptable or not. Friend, somebody's lying to you. There's a right and there's a wrong. There's a God's way and there's not. We're trying to be convinced that there are so many gray areas and webbed in indifferences within this book. And friend, listen, there are not. It is plain. It is specific. And this idea that we have brought upon our own mentality, that somehow that's the barometer in which we're running with. Friend, listen, I don't want to be that individual on Judgment Day. Because at that point in time, while God is standing there with a rebuking verbiage and a rebuking heart, there's nothing at that point in time anymore I can do whatsoever about it. What's done is done. How many of you remember the message I preached? I don't want to be just a foot soldier. Friend, listen, one day we're going to serve in a millennial kingdom. And you know where I serve? And you know where that's based upon? Any of you who've served in the military, you understand very clearly there is a difference between a ranking officer and an enlisted man. And if you've been in the military, you lived it. You know what I'm speaking of. Friend, listen, I stand in God's army. I want to be an enlisted man. I want to be an officer in the army. Amen. And you know what determines whether or not I have the ability where God can trust me with a bar on my collar or maybe an oak leaf? You know what that is, Brother Robert? That's all determined by what I do here with that right there. Did you get that? I said every ounce of that is determined there by what I do here with this right here. Amen. And there are no second chances once that trumpet sounds. I either have earned it or I've not. The position is already determined. God's not looking for excuses. He's looking for results. Amen. And you say, preacher, I don't know. This isn't much of a resurrection evening message. Oh, it is if you understand what I'm saying and you're listening. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this evening. Heavenly Father, as we stand to our feet, Lord God, on this resurrection Sunday evening, Lord, a day in which we celebrate, we rejoice, Lord God, we're ecstatic about this was the day that you proved to all the world that you were who exactly you said you were. But Lord, just as important as conquering death and hell, as stated this morning, Lord God Almighty, this was the day you ascended to the Father with the blood atonement for the covering of my sin. This was the day, Lord God, you opened the gate so that I may come in. Father, upon simply receiving, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Lord God, the only individuals who are coming to heaven are those who have received you. Lord, it doesn't matter what denomination I'm of. Lord God, it doesn't matter what my church attendance was. Lord, it doesn't matter whether I've been baptized or not baptized. All of these are good things. All of these are important things. But Lord God, they are not determining things. For the only individuals who will enter into the ramparts of a celestial heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, are those who have accepted you as Lord and Savior, have allowed that blood to be applied upon their account, Lord God, so they no longer have to walk into that penalty of separation from you for all of eternity because they still stand in enmity against you. Lord God, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and before the piano begins to play this evening, my question this evening to all of us as a people is quite simple. Am I a child of the living God? Has there been a time in which I bowed a head, maybe bended a knee, and said, Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot save myself. And Lord, it is my sin that will separate me from all of eternity. And Lord God, I will enter into a place known as damnation because I have not accepted you and the blood atonement that you have offered to me as a received gift. Are you saved? Saved from what? Are you saved from the fires of hell this evening? Because that is where our sin will send us. Listen, this is a choice. This is a determination that every single living, breathing soul must make. Not one of us were born righteous, and not one of us whatsoever have another means of becoming righteous but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that righteousness through the blood and the name of Jesus Christ, I can't go. Are you going this evening? As we stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, not a soul looking around, the question I ask to you this evening is, are you saved tonight? If you are, rejoice with me on this resurrection evening. Lift your hand in praise to the living Savior. I've born again. I've trusted Him as my Lord, my Savior, my God, and I'm going to heaven one day, preacher. I'm not a perfect individual, but before God, I stand righteous in the name of Christ. Amen. You may put them down. Now, I believe that was every hand in the room. But if you are here tonight, and let me just be transparent, let me be frank. If you're standing with your hands sweaty and you got nervousness and your knees are feeling a little weak and you're saying, I want to believe it. I don't want to say that I'm not, but I've got this churning, burning inside of me saying, I'm not sure. If that is you this evening, we have plenty of time. And that's the reason, first and foremost, we're here. Is there one this evening willing and in his position or a place to say, preacher, I'm not sure tonight. I need to get this settled. I need to know I'm going to heaven, and I need to know that I'm doing it for a Bible reason. Is there one? Then upon your own testimony this evening, as the piano begins to play softly, how are we doing on this obedience thing? Where are we standing on these specific commandments? You say, oh, that's Old Testament, preacher. The sundry ordinances were, but the principles are not. The statutes are not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those principles that He put in place that were spelled out, laid out, and given in those ordinances of God's specific demand and command to obey. Now we can stand and we can pretend and we can you know, negotiate within ourselves and with those who are willing to listen all we would like, but it will never change truth. God is very specific. And friend, we are living in a world where we have reached and entered into such a humanistic arrogance that we somehow feel as though we have a determination of what's right, what's wrong. And as long as I see it that way, that's the way it is for me. Well, that may be a way it is for you, but friend, it is not the way it is for God. He will never change. He will never alter. He will never falter. God said, put a ribbon upon the base of your robe. So every time you see it, whether you put it on in the morning, you take it off at night, whether you're walking to the store and you see it dangling by the dirt, so you might remember to obey my commandments. Friend, I pray that we don't need a ribbon sewn to the hem of our garment for us to remember that which God has given to us, sacrificed so much for, so that we might have it written in a book, as well as upon our hearts. In a moment, we will partake of the elements. Let me ask you a question. Are you right with man tonight? First and foremost, are you right with man tonight? And if you're right with man tonight, are you right with God tonight? We ought not be afraid to examine ourselves. God Almighty, we thank you for our time this evening. We thank you for the entirety of this day, Lord. And Father, we just ask for your blessing upon it as we take time now, Lord God, to commune together with thee. Lord God, as we do so, remembering, Lord God, that brutal crucifixion in which the Trinity was broken, Lord God, for the penalty of my sin. And Father, you walk through that spiritual separation for me, Lord God, so that I need not have to. But Father, we also, as we partake of the blood element, Lord God, the cup this evening, representation of that very atonement that you ascended to the Father with as we spoke this morning, Lord God, on this day, on this morning, Lord, nearly 2,000 years ago, so that my sin, Lord God, could be covered, and all God Almighty, as I am reconciled back to him, will see is the righteousness of thee. In Jesus' name, amen.